Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Time has come for us once again to be able to stand before God, worship Him in both spirit and in truth, and to study another portion of His Word. We want to give Him great thanks for everything that He has done for us this week through our lives and everything that He will do us continuing on throughout the rest of this day and those that come forward, be that His will. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nathan Elder. I am the Associate Minister of the North Las Vegas Church of Christ in North Las Vegas, and there is a difference. I've told you all that. As our minister would let you know quickly, that North Las Vegas is a whole different place. So, very glad to serve there, and always happy to come in out here and give you all a word from God as well. I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed to be able to still stand before you all and deliver the word of God. It is a passion of mine, and just really quickly, I just did not think with what had happened to me with the heart attack and everything, that God brought me to this desert to not have me preach the word of God, to not preach the truth. And I just refused to believe that that was going to be my end, that now I'm regulated to, you know, dialysis and things like that. I knew that God had a different plan for me. And with everybody that was praying for me, I knew that I would be able to return to doing what He had prepared me to do, which is teach and preach the Word of God. So I thank Him. I thank you all. And I just can't thank you. That letter did so much for me. I just thank you all for your concern. Moving forward, the title of my lesson is Views of the Cross. Views of the Cross. And I want to go over some things. These are some things that I went over with our congregation as well. There is an epidemic that is going on in our country, and it's not an epidemic of food. It's not an epidemic of disease. It is an epidemic of Bible illiteracy. The Word of God is being misconstrued, misinterpreted, not interpreted at all, wanting to be erased or removed from our society, because the devil would have us to believe things that are directly sin are now being purported as something that is natural and to be accepted. And that is the devil's lie. We were teaching that in class this morning. The devil is a liar, so he has no problem purporting and giving us lies to believe. The growing problem in our society today is Bible illiteracy, not just with those in the world, but those who are a member of the church. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become biblically illiterate. And we see this all the time. You go into people's houses, they have the Bible displayed. It's displayed under the coffee table. It's displayed up in china cabinets. But it's displayed. It's not being read. It's just there for you to see. But the Word of God is not a showpiece. The Word of God is to be utilized by His children. It's supposed to be followed. But the epidemic of Bible illiteracy that's going on is of epidemic proportions. Forget COVID. This is worse. And it's spread. The information I'm about to give you comes from the American Gallup poll. The Gallup poll is typically a poll used for political purpose. But this particular poll was used to try to find what was the standard of people's biblical belief. And these were some of the results. How bad is it? Fewer than half of the people that were polled, fewer than half of the polled adults for this study can name all four Gospels in the New Testament. Many of the people polled for this study cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples or the apostles. And I when I said that to my congregation, they were really like, really, because they didn't know. And really, they're not 12 apostles, they're 14. See, most people don't know that. And if you really try to name them in your head, I deal with it every day. If you're not reading your Bible every day, it may not be information that you readily know as well. We have to know these things. 60% of all polled adults for this study cannot name even 5 of the 10 commandments. Which one of you know all 10? Amen. Amen. 82% of all polled adults for this study believe that God helps those that help themselves is really a Bible verse. And it is not. 12% of all polled adults for this study believe that Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. The survey of all polled adults for this study revealed that over 50% of them thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A considerable number of all polled adults for this study indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. Increasingly, according to the Gallup poll, America is biblically illiterate. Biblical illiteracy is like a poison wreaking havoc in the lives of individuals, in our churches, in our communities, in our society. That's what a partial poll is saying. Because people are saying that we have removed God from everything. We removed God from school. We removed God from the workplace. But see, people are concerned with it because now they're looking out into society, and because society has moved into a normalcy of sin. Now they want to turn back to God. When they thought that they didn't need God, they had become their own God. They had accepted that they were powerful in the things that they had. This generation is concerned with gain. Gaining things. Not gaining knowledge, gaining things. They want cars. They want clothes. They want chains. They want things. But they're not willing to really get out and work for it. A generation ago, working was not looked upon as a bad thing. Now, every time you turn on the TV, there's a situation that's going to show you how to get rich quick. Amen, somebody. Amen. It's going to show you a way that you can make money right now, immediately, if you do these 5 steps. Buy something called Bitcoin. You've never seen a Bitcoin. You don't even know what it is. But you're going to buy it because I want to be rich. I want things. But I'm not willing to work for it. Even your salvation is free. But you can't lose it if you don't maintain God's will. Yeah. We have to work. Amen. A man that doesn't work shouldn't what? Indeed. Praise God. Amen. But you got a lot of people out here that want a free meal. Amen. And they don't have a problem getting a free meal on you. Amen. People will use you. And this is what we say, Bible illiteracy. People thinking that God just does things. God is not a genius. He doesn't just come down and give you 3 rushes. No. God created us to follow his command and will. That's what he created us for. He created us to worship him. Amen. And we want to worship ourselves. But because of biblical illiteracy, this has become the norm. Poisons of biblical illiteracy. God's people have always, always, always been destroyed by the lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. While you're getting over there, lack of knowledge is killing us. And this is not knowledge that's not readily available to us. I told you, most people have a Bible in their house. If you stay in a hotel, there's a Bible in the drawer. If wherever you go, there's a Bible. I know we don't have libraries no more. But I promise you it's a Bible in the library. If you Google it, you will find 100 versions of the Bible. It's not that we don't have the knowledge. It's that we have gone without the knowledge so long, we don't even want to go and look for it. There was a time when Israel thought they had lost the book of the law. And the law was right there in the church with them. The building had become destroyed, but the law was still inside. But because they didn't want to go inside to look for it, they thought they had lost it. That's what's wrong with this society. They think that they've lost it. It's still here. It's still readily available for you. It's still, God is always going to make it available. We just have to look for it. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. The Bible says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." Listen to this. "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery." This is the Old Testament. Don't it sound like today?
Amen.
That's how you know nothing is new under the sun. And God is charging Israel. He's indicting them, but he's indicting our society as well. Look at where we have gone. Look at what we are accepting. Don't judge me. You don't know my life. You don't know my struggle. I don't have to. God called it an abomination. I follow God. I'm not going to follow my feelings. That's what's wrong with these children. I feel. You don't feel nothing. You don't know what you feel. These children try to tell us things, and they haven't lived any ounce of life. Where wisdom comes by experience. People get intelligence and wisdom confused. When I was a child, I was intelligent. I understood things. Mathematically, English, science, I understood that. But my grandmother used to always say, "Boy, you're the smartest, dumbest person I've ever met in my life." I never understood that. But what she was trying to tell me, I had all kind of book sense. I didn't have any street sense. I didn't have any wisdom. I hadn't experienced everything, but me and myself, I thought I was smarter than everybody in the room. But no, wisdom comes with experience and what you do with the experience. Because it's just like it's a lot of young fools, it's showing up a lot of old ones too. If you don't learn anything from your life experiences, you can't gain the wisdom. And lack of knowledge is what's destroying this society. It has destroyed societies before. Why do you think Rome failed? Look at what the Bible says. "They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the fields and the bird of the air, and even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priests." The Israelites were fighting with those who were trying to give them righteous information. Don't that sound familiar? The preacher will teach a lesson, and you have people in the audience talking about, "No, that ain't the way I learned it." But what about what the scriptures say? That ain't what my preacher said. Your preacher is a man.
Amen.
He is a man. The word has stood, will stand, and forever will stand. The word will not change. We are disseminators of information. We are not God. But you have some people in this role that take it upon themselves to make themselves little gods. Try to rule over the Lord's church. You are the Lord's people. You belong to him. You're not my people. You don't belong to Brother Montgomery. You don't belong to anybody. Y'all belong to God. Why? Because Jesus came down, died on the cross, and paid a price. So you don't belong to you. I don't belong to me. So how can I rule over a people? Bible illiteracy. People not understanding their role. God gave us a hierarchy to follow. God, Jesus, man, woman. Some people don't like that. Because we're talking about hierarchy. We're talking about submission. That word come up, women get upset. Yeah. Amen. Don't get quiet now. I tell you, I had a heart attack. I ain't scared too much no more. People hear that word submission, but don't understand it. Bible illiteracy. By submitting to God, And we all are under submission, even Jesus. By submitting to God, this is how we know how we are supposed to follow. My wife follows me not because I'm the man. She follows me because I follow God. And as long as I follow God, she's supposed to follow me because that's command. Amen. But if I get out here and start robbing banks, she ain't got to follow me no more. Amen. No. She ain't going to rob no bank. Plus, she's not a good robber. She can't lie. We are going to jail. The Bible says this. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day, and the prophet shall stumble in with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. Listen to verse number 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you for being a priest from me. This is the Old Testament, but it's relevant today. If you reject God's knowledge, if you reject God's will, he is going to reject you in that day. And that day is on its way. I promise you, we live in the last day. It's getting worse and worse and worse. There, I almost can't watch. Can you watch the news? How frequent are these people shooting up something? It was schools. Now it's grocery stores. Now it's convenience stores. Now you're just on the corner. You can't go nowhere. It's getting worse. And people are talking about, well, people's mental capacity is... People been crazy all the whole time. Amen. People been like that. The Bible says so. This is, but people want to create some kind of reality that where this is something new. It's not anything new. Nothing is new under the sun.
Amen.
What we have to do is get back to what God's lack of knowledge is destroying us. Amen. It's not guns. If I lay a gun in front of you, it's not going to do anything. You got to pick it up. What they say, guns don't kill people. Who do it? People. I ain't no Republican. My wife think I'm dressed like one today. I'm not a Republican. But I'm a purporter of the truth. I know a gun can't do nothing to me if ain't nobody holding it. But I also believe it's too much free access to it too. There are societies that don't have the... If you go to Britain, the police don't have weapons. And they're doing just fine. They don't even have as much crime as we have. We're no weapons. You can't take our guns away. Why? What are you hunting? What are you looking for? Why do you need it? Protection. The law is for the lawless. If people had gotten back to God, if people would get back to God, it wouldn't be so much lawlessness. Therefore, you wouldn't feel a need to protect yourself with a gun. And the last I checked, the law says in the Ten Commandments that people don't know, thou shalt not what? Kill. And the last I checked, most people ain't wounding people. Ain't nobody shooting nobody in the leg no more. Every time you turn on TV, the police have a fatal shooting. The police ain't playing. If you got a weapon, you about to go on and meet your maker. And these people, these young folks ain't playing either. Everybody want to solve their problem, not the way God intended it, not the way God commanded it. They want to solve their problems the way they want. But that's the devil's line. The devil would have you solving your problems the way you feel. And we get into arguments about feelings anyway. You know, I think this brother don't like me, so now we got to fight. I ain't asking no questions. I don't see why we got dispute. The Bible says in Matthew that if you got off with your brother, you're supposed to do what? Go to him. We don't go to him. I got a problem with you. I come over here and talk to Brother Montgomery. I don't know what's wrong with him. Why do I should beat him up, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, you. And that's how it starts. Yeah. And that's how it goes. Yeah. Nobody does things the way we brothers in Christ. I should be able to come to you and say, what's wrong? How can I help? Not, yeah, let's get them up, let's fight. You got Christians fighting in the church? In the church? This is the breakdown of our society due to our biblical illiteracy and lack of knowledge. If people knew how they were supposed to react and fix these things, they should do them. Our modern age has completely set against the idea of restraint. You see it in advertising and you see it in slogans. One slogan that you all know is just do it. Whose slogan is that? Nike. Just do it. Why? Because you can. That's their slogan. But people have applied that to life. Just do it. I feel like a girl on the inside, so I want to be a woman. Ha! Let me tell you something. God did not create me to understand how a woman feels on the inside. I'm a man. That's how I feel on the inside. How would I know how a woman feels on the inside? I was born like this. You are a liar, and you're calling God one. You're not born like that. Sexuality is a taught behavior. I know this because there has been experimentation on it. It's a taught behavior. But I do know this. God created them both male and female. That's what he wanted. He did not want an amalgamation or an abomination that we see today. And this how you know it's not natural. Those who take on an effeminate lifestyle are more female acting than the female. Switch more than the woman do. Because they don't know. They have no idea what it is to be. I don't know how you think. Why you think me and my wife get in arguments? I don't know what's on her mind. At all. I don't know what she's thinking about. But like I said, we were counseling a couple last night. I know I don't know what she's thinking because she's not me. But I tell people this. In God's economy, God said live in peace whenever possible. So what I've learned in my 13-year marriage, I know I ain't been married as long as some of y'all. 13 years. I'd rather have peace than to be right. So I let her be right. I still don't know what she's talking about. But I bet you what, it's peace in my house. If you can't understand that, I ain't got no more sermons for you. Toyota's slogan is living without boundaries. See, that's again problem with society. God got doctrine. Doctrine got rules. Commands say that you have to do it. But if I live without boundaries, that says I don't have to follow no rules. The devil is giving messages to society subliminally. You don't need rules. Why do you think the devil got kicked out of heaven? He didn't like the rules. People think it's coming from Toyota. That's the devil's lie. Don't have no rules. Don't have no boundaries. Do what you want to do. Do how you feel. Feelings will get you in trouble every day.
Man.
Why is that? Because feelings change. It changed. Your emotional state is different from moment to moment. So how could you depend on something that's so unstable? That's why we have doctrine. We need guidance. The Bible says it's not in man to order his own steps. He can't. Because he's too emotional. Everybody be talking about, no, it's women, no, men, emotion. Men are emotional. I'm telling you, I got emotional in that hospital. I got almost lunified in that hospital. I wasn't making the right decision. But when your mind starts slipping, you're not in the right state of mind. You get in enough sin, you're not in the right state of mind.
Right.
This is why the Bible says be sober and vigilant. So I can't drink. Let me tell you something. Watch me get drunk for this. You should not do things that's going to alter your state of mind. The devil is waiting at the door. And for some of us, it don't take much drink. Look how quiet it got, brother.
All right.
I knew I was going to get drunk. And then because of Bible illiteracy, they think that the scripture is only talking about liquor. talking about them funny cigarettes that smell weird? Now look, they don't know what I'm talking about. Let me say it, marijuana. It's legal in Nevada, yeah, but it ain't legal with God. Look how quiet he is. Not, because who? I'm scared. Again, it's not legal with God because, again, things that can alter your mind is what the devil wants. All the devil wants is confusion. Amen. And it don't take much.
That's right.
If you've been high, you know. You ain't got to tell. Don't raise your hand. it's not necessary. It's not necessary. People think that they understand what's going on. When I first got to college, I come from a conservative background. My father is an elder. My grandfather is a preacher, well-known preacher at that. My mother, my whole life was in a box, and that was church. I got to the University of North Texas. I'm free. Free. And I grew up in a level of poverty. When I got to the University of North Texas, the new friends I had money. And they could buy things. I couldn't buy nothing. They could buy things. And what they liked to do was drink, because for some reason, college students like to drink. Yes, sir. And I'm not small. You see me. I thought I could handle what I was putting into my body, but I couldn't. You see a rational human being before you. If I take a drink, I become irrational. And I start doing things I would not normally do. Not because I've lost the knowledge. Not because I've lost the things that they taught me. The liquor lends your mind to confusion, and the devil gets in. That's all he wants. And but then you get those people that are, I don't drink. I don't drink. I take the gummies. I use the gummies. I use the pixie sticks. I smoke the pen. If it alters your mind, the devil is waiting. He's just waiting. As soon as you get messed up, y'all, some of y'all know I ain't got to say nothing. I tell you, don't raise your hand. The devil operates in conflict and confusion of the mind. The battle is in the mind, and the problem is the people. Where there is lack of God's word, the people faint. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. And I'm going to give it to you in the easy to read version so that you can understand the word. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 13. The Lord God says, look, the days are coming when I will cause a famine in the land. The people will not be hungry for bread. They will not be thirsty for water. No, they will be hungry from words from the Lord. I told you there's a famine in the land, and it's not got nothing to do with food. There is a loss of word, the God's word through knowledge. And he was saying this back to the children of Israel way back then. He said that they will be hungry for words from the Lord. Verse number 12, the people will wander around the country from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, from the north part of the country to the east. They will go back and forth looking for a message from the Lord, but they will not find it. And at that time, the beautiful young men and women will become weak from thirst. This is the Old Testament. Look at your society now. They weak from the lack of word. And they depended upon their own knowledge to get them past something. I was listening to Facebook the other day, and the guy said, I no longer pray to God, I pray to me. I had to turn it off. I said, you've lost your mind. You've lost your entire mind. He was saying that the things that, because he praying to a Jesus that ain't going to never come, it's made up. We kings and queens. I said, quit all this. Quit all this. You here to be able to say this silly stuff by the grace of God. That's why you here. But the problem is people don't respect the power of God. And that's because of biblical illiteracy. There's a famine in the land by not understanding who and what God is. I had two friends that I grew up with. They went off to start a denominational work. We all 47 together, and both of them are dead. Her husband died 1 year before she died right after that. Don't that sound like somebody in the book? Yeah. And Ananias and who? When you playing with God, you can't play with God. They didn't even have to lie. They could have came in and said, we made all the money, we're going to keep it. That would at least been the truth. But they came in lying. And that's why the apostle said, why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? Not to me. Why are you lying to God? God know what you got. See, we get on offering for a minute. If you come in here and you already know that you got more than what you got, and you pulling out $5, and God know what you got, who are you lying to? Us? We don't care. I have no heaven or hell to put you in. You lying to God. And God is not to be trifled with. That is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And people talk about him like he's something to play with. So ignorance will make us make the wrong choices. And when we stumble, we don't know where to turn. Ignorance is why you see the things happening right now. You have more faith in science than you do in God. When really they one and the same. Science exists because of God. Matter cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be transmuted or transferred. The spirit can neither be created nor destroyed. If I die on this floor, you can't put my spirit back in me. Once it leaves me, it goes back to the source. And you can't create another one. People got to stop watching these movies. Oh, Frankenstein's mother. That's not true. We don't have the ability or the authority to put life into anything.
Man.
Biblical, there's a famine in the land. People not understanding what and who God is. So without knowledge of God's and God's word, there's no real direction or guidance in your life. Who's leading you? Who's influencing? If you don't have, if it's not God, it's the devil. You can only serve one or the other. There's no true joy or real peace in life either. When you have confusion about who you are and whose you are, ain't no peace in your life, ain't no joy in your life. You spend all your time looking for love in the wrong place. I know my wife don't preach no song, but that song is true. That song is true. You looking for, because you'll look for love in the wrong man. You'll look for love in the wrong woman. You'll look for love in your job. You'll look for love in your money. But why would you put invest any of your time and mind in something that's going to burn up? All this is going to go away. And we all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God.
Amen.
And that's real. I just want Jesus to allow me to stand in line long enough so I can hear some of these people try to explain themselves. I just want to hear it. Standing before the throne, God, I didn't know you was real. Too bad. Legify. Who next? Because it's nothing people are going to be able to say. If you have anything in your life that looks like sin and you die in your sin, John chapter 8, verse 21 says, you cannot go. If you die in your sin, you cannot go. And listen to what the book says. It says sin. They didn't say which one, because all of them will put you there.
Yeah.
Biblical, there's a famine in the land. People have to turn themselves back to God. What is the significance of the cross? What significance does it have for us? Paul says it marked a separation from the world of sin. When Jesus went to the cross, he gave us an opportunity to be able to separate our lives from the sinful lives that we were living before. It also said, according to Paul, that it focuses the teaching and the preaching of the word on the fact that he sacrificed himself for us so that we might be saved. And there's something that many don't understand even now, that the sacrifice of him, most people think it's a myth. They believe in God, they don't believe in Jesus. And if they believe in Jesus, they just think he's a man or a prophet. But they were saying that in his day. They didn't believe in him then. So why would it be different now? But who, those who are spiritual should have better insight. And even those in the church don't know enough to put into a bucket. Why are we here? What are we doing right now? If it's anybody that is here that does not understand or understand the importance of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice of dying and being nailed to a cross brutally and horribly, killed for no reason, an innocent life, who took sin upon himself to be able to have been buried in a borrowed tomb and raised up by God, because he's the only one, not anybody, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not nobody else. Jesus. Jesus sits on the right hand of God, and they await our return from this earth when the earth ends. And it's coming. Those of us that don't understand that have a lack of knowledge. And that's why the famine exists. What is important right now is that if anyone who is in here who has not ever heard the word of God, what must one do to be saved? This is what must happen. First, you must hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And then after you've heard the word of God, you must believe that word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. And after you believe, the Bible says that you must repent. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5. And after you repent, the Bible says that you must speak the name of Jesus Christ, the most beautiful name, the most sweetest name ever spoken on mortal tongue. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. And then after you've heard, believed, repented, and confessed, the Bible says that you must be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. John chapter 3 and verse number 5 says this, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then after you've done all these things, it's not over. You must dedicate and submit yourself, your whole life, to the furtherance of the word, to the furtherance of God's will. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." It's right there on that poster. It should be right here in our hearts. We can't continue to go throughout this famine. It's time for us to start feasting on the word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone. We owe it to ourselves to save ourselves. Your salvation belongs to you. Don't miss the opportunity. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and let us sing.
All to Jesus.